Is that generally so? Yes. Are there occasions when somebody's mad and you respond calmly to them and they just get madder? Yeah, every once in a while, but that's not generally how it goes. Generally, somebody gets mad, you get mad at them, and they get madder, and that type of thing. Generally, a calm answer turns away wrath. It says grievous words stir up anger. Every once in a while, grievous words don't stir up anger. Somebody just pray. You know, somebody's very timid or something. Or they've got better self-control. But that's the way it generally goes. Now, some folks have been trying to say that this passage is about personality types. If you're an A personality or a B personality or an alpha male or this or that, or compared maybe to different kinds of animals, and they say what you do is you look at your child and you see what, you know, slant he already has, and then if you train him in his way, then he'll go that way. I don't think that's what this passage is talking about. Proverbs is a pretty fundamental book. All through the book, it talks about what? The righteous and the foolish. The righteous and the foolish. That's what we're dealing with here. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, Judith Harris wrote a book a few years ago, and it was either U.S. News, I don't think it was U.S. News, it was Time or Newsweek, I believe, had a cover special on it. And the cover of the magazine said, Do Parents Really Matter? Which was the name of the book. And Judith Harris wrote this book, and she said, no, basically. Parents don't matter. Her argument in the book was, the only things that really matter in children is their peers and their genes. Okay? So genetically, that makes up partly what you are, and the friends you hang around with. That makes up the other part, and parents are just pretty much insignificant. She did go on to say there are some things a parent can do. You ready for this? Make sure that you make enough money to live in the best school district so that they can have better peers. Since their peers determine who they are. And make sure you have enough money to dress them in the latest styles, because that will make them more acceptable to their peers. And if they need some plastic surgery or orthodontics, you know, make enough money that you can give them that because looks do matter. Oh, what a deep, deep book this was. But I thought about it. And you know what? I think in a lot of families, genetics and peers are what determines most of it. Or if the parents aren't involved, if the parents don't spend time with their children, if the parents put forth no effort, if they, like we mentioned yesterday, the statistic in Britain, the average time a father spends with his children in a day was either 5 or 15 minutes. You know what? If that's all the time we spend on our children, guess what is going to be the only things that affect them probably? Genetics and peers. It's our job to spend time with them and do that. Let me illustrate this. I know some of you, because I saw and heard some discussion about it, have gardens in your backyard. I occasionally have a garden. I have sometimes turned up the ground, fertilized it, put lime in there and everything, and then never got around to planting anything. And other times I've planted something, but then getting it, it's a long way. My yard's really deep, and it's a long way back there. And sometimes we don't get back there and weed. Guess what happens if we sow the seed and don't spend any time on it? What do you think we get at harvest time? Pretty sorry crop. Weeds. Why? Because we didn't spend any time on it. A cat or a bird, how long does it take? When a bird is born in the spring, how long does it take for that bird to be independent and on his own? Not very long at all. How about a kitten? Not very long at all. Can you take a human baby and 8 weeks later just let it go on its own? we're made very different, aren't we? Thing is, it doesn't take very long to learn how to be a cat. It doesn't take very long to learn how to be a bird. Flap your wings, you eat a worm, and it's not that complicated. Human beings are more complex. And notice how much time God has given us with our young. Physically, they are, they're just not physically capable for years to be independent and on their own, which gives the parents what? Years of molding time, which means what? That's time that we need to use, not let it slip by. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. This is a passage we read the other night. It said, "These commandments which I teach you today, you shall teach them," what did it say? "Diligently to your children, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk in the way." See, when that time is used well, it's just like when somebody spends a lot of time in their garden, what are they going to have at harvest time? They're going to have those 4-foot-high weeds that I've had sometimes. No, what are they going to have at harvest time? They're going to have a good crop because they spent the time. And you say, well, but what if a drought came through? Now, if somebody's dedicated to their garden, what do they do when a drought comes through? They go out there and water it. What if they do if it just gets too much sun? Well, they might put something there to shade it. What do they do if somebody's dedicated to their garden, they're thinking about what it needs. That's what we need to do with our children as well. If you were going to buy a house, I doubt that any of you, here's a street, okay, here's a house. I don't think anybody would buy this house. Do you? I wouldn't buy that house. There's a problem with it, right? There's a lot of homes that are like that. I was reading a book recently called The Angry Child, and it talked about upside-down homes where the children think everything is there to serve them. Mom is here, so that I get what I want. Dad is here so that I get what I want. Fluffy or Spot are here so that I get what I want. The TV is there so that I get what I want. Food is here, and they just view everything as centered around them. Now, they hear about God, but he's not the most important thing. And they know the parents are there, and they can be helpful or hindrances that you have to manipulate. But the child's view of everything is what? It's all about me. One of our jobs as parents is to make sure that our children don't have that idea. That it's God first, then the parents, and then the child, and not have that upside down home. There are homes where what the kids say is what controls things. Early training and know. When a baby is born, what are the first two words that they're likely to say? Mom and no. That's what they learn the easiest. Dad is going to be in there too, but that, mom and no are probably going to be the first two words out of that baby's mouth. No is a really important word. They have to learn to understand and accept and submit to the parents' prohibitory no. And they have to learn that they are not allowed to use a rebellious, defiant no. Now, there's times when they need to be able to say no, would you like this? No, thank you. Would you like, some nuts on top of your ice cream? They don't want nuts on top of their ice cream. They can say, no, thank you. That's not disrespectful. But you know what I'm talking about when that, no. No, do this. No. They need to learn to never do that. First, let's go back and think about the prohibitory no. This is important. Genesis chapter 2. Adam and Eve are created. Even before Eve is created, the no comes into effect. when Adam is created, how mature is he? How old is he? Physically, I assume he's a grown man, right? But maturity-wise, how long has Adam been around? Does Adam understand the difference between good and evil? Is Adam wise? No, he's not. So even though he may be, fully formed, he's at an immature, somewhat level, experience-wise. What's the first rule God gives him? Points at one of the trees in the garden and says, no-no. This is a no-no. That's what that first commandment is. You can have all these other things. This one, no. But then Eve comes along, and what are kids sometimes inclined to do when they're told, no-no. you can do this, but no eating the cookies. I'm going outside. No, I'm eating the cookies. A lot of kids are going to be thinking about what? Those cookies. Adam and Eve do that which they're prohibited. Children of Israel, when they leave Egypt. Now, they weren't just created, but they were still pretty spiritually immature, weren't they? Think about the children of Israel in the wilderness. The constant whining, you brought us out here, we should have left us in Egypt. Well, you were crying and whining when you were in Egypt, asking for deliverance. Now you're crying and whining because you got it. And, we should go back. I remember the cucumbers, when everything was free. Yeah, you were slaves. They seem to remember it was like, an all-you-can-eat buffet. The reason they got to eat for free was because they were slaves. That was a very spiritually immature group of people, right? Moses goes up on the mountain, he's gone for a while, and they make golden calves. I don't know how it happened to Moses, making some calves. You look at the laws God gave them. The Ten Commandments are primarily what? Once you get past the first few, but even in there, about idolatry and graven images, most of the Ten Commandments are what? No-nos. Is that the deepest part of the law? When the scribe says, what's the greatest commandment of the law? Did Jesus quote one of the Ten Commandments? No, he went to a positive thing. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second one, did he go to the Ten Commandments? No, he said the second greatest was Leviticus 19. Love your neighbor as yourself. But you know what? Those concepts aren't always immediately grasped by immature people. Be in charge of a room of 32 and 3-year-olds. Okay, there's a random assortment of not very well-trained 2 and 3-year-olds, and you're in charge of them for a couple of hours while a bunch of us go somewhere else. And you say, okay, children, now we're going to think about respecting other people. I want you to think about how, is that going to work? Now you got to have to get out. No, I'm the heat. No. the hair pulling? No. Nobody. You're going to have to get down to some no-nos, right? The Ten Commandments are primarily that. Paul said in Romans 13, if you love your neighbor as yourself, what did he say? That's going to cover thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. But these people, at a very immature level, needed to have it spelled out. No, I'm the killing. No, I'm the adultery. Children need that. I'm going to tell you, you don't have babies here, so especially if you're going to have children later, or for you young people that aren't married yet and such, remember this. Because if you get this down firmly, you got almost half the battle done. If you get that small child to learn that when you say no, that's no. The other steps are going to, you need to be consistent and follow through, but a lot of your work's already done. It's that important. There are parents who try to child-proof their house. You know what the problem with that is? They don't always stay in your house. Then if they're going to somebody else's house, they try to call ahead and get them to child-proof their house. No. World-proof the child.
teach the child some things. So you can take a one-year-old to somebody's house, and they start heading for the coffee table where the little crystal figurines are, and you just say, no, no. And they step back away from that, and they don't touch it again. Because they've learned what? That when you say no, they're not to do it. That is foundational for all later training. Because then when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and later, they realize that you're in charge and they need to do what they're told, and that will help them, and that prepares them for respecting God's authority, their heavenly father. If a child grows up, well, what my parents say doesn't really matter, and I'm always going to push the limits and not respect it because everything's about me, then when they start looking at God's rules, what's their attitude going to be? Are they going to start looking for loopholes and ways around and how to push it? Yeah. And how about legal authority? Yeah. Fundamental and foundational. They need to learn that no. And if you don't mean it, don't say it. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. A friend of mine in high school, he told me one day, his mom was not a pleasant person. And he said, I would just like to slap her. He was about 6'3". And he just wanted to hit his mom. Because she aggravated him so much. He said, the only reason I don't is because I know what would happen when my dad came home. That's a pretty sad thing. But she was an irritating person. One day, the conversation goes like this. Mom, Scott and I are going to go over to Huntsville. Oh, no, you're not. I said, yeah, we're just going to go over to Huntsville. No, you don't have time to go to Huntsville. You've got things to do. Mom, we're only going to be gone, you know, such and such time. Not, well, you've got to mow lawn. I've already mowed part of the lawn. I'll mow some of the truck. Well, whatever. And Mom, he just keeps going on and on and on. And she said, finally, well, how long will you be gone? Already told you, we're only going to be there about 45 minutes, or whatever he said. Okay. Why put a child through that? In the first place, he was being disrespectful by not taking her no for an answer. But can you see why he didn't take her no for an answer? Because her immediate response is, no. No, no, no. And just whittle, 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 whittle. Okay. And so he gets to go, but he's left with what? Just an annoyance at that woman. If it's no, let it be no. There may be a rare occasion when you said, wait a minute, I just realized, and you explain, you know, something, but don't let it be something you're manipulated into. There may be an occasion when other factors come into mind, you know, and you see the weather report or something, you say, hey, you know what, I think that's going to work out after all. I'm not saying you can never, you know, rethink something yourself. But don't allow manipulation. And when you intend for the answer to be no, let it be no. And other times, let it be yes. The secret to good kids is not to say no. Mom, can I breathe in and out? No. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, don't automatically say no. All right, let's go to our next sheet here. Common pitfalls to avoid. We've got about 12 of these, and we're going to try to go through these pretty quickly. Common pitfalls to avoid. Number one, real simple, failing to discipline. In Proverbs, usually I like for people to turn to the passages, but these are pretty short, but if you've got Proverbs open, feel free to take a look at them too. Proverbs 13, verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son. You hear those moms say, oh, but I just love Junior too much. Well, you need to love him more. He that spares his rod hates his son. He that loves him disciplines him diligently. That's the New American Standard Version there. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Notice that while there is hope. Has anybody here ever worked with making clay pottery? Early in the process, what's that clay like? Pliable. You can make it be what you want it to be. Later in the process, what happens to it? It's
not pliable anymore, is it? Discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. What's going to drive it far from him? The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. He may sound like it, but he's not. The rod and reproof bring wisdom. I had recently I was hearing, I think it was a sister telling about what her brother told her. And one of them never thought of this. Said, oh yeah, the louder you cry, the quicker mom quit spanking. You know, I never thought of that. You know, that, oh yeah, you really well. Ah! You know, she thinks, boy, you learned your lesson. You're just putting on a show. Although I do remember one time, I was one of three boys. And so when we got in trouble, it was usually two or three of us, you know. So she'd line us up. All right, Jeff, Daryl, Scott. And we got spent hard and should have been. One time, I do remember this was funny. I decided not to be a crybaby. And so it was my older brother's turn. He got his whipping and he was bawling. And then I got up there and I got mine. I like, held it in. I was going to be a big boy. Then my little brother got his. And then my mom looked and there's my older brother crying. And there's my younger brother crying. And I'm in the middle of that crying. Come here, Scott. I must not have got you hard enough. And I just bust out and then she realized I didn't get it. But don't manipulate your parents. I'm not trying to give tips on how to manipulate your parents. Well, whether it sound right or not, no, that's not going to kill them to get a spanking. The rod and reproof, we're going to talk about that in detail later, bring wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Proverbs 29:17. Let me tell you about some examples here real quick. 4-year-old boy I used to live next to. His mother, remember the church, not the one where I preached, but in the next town, should have known. His brother was a gospel preacher, and they should have known. But she read some of these child psychology books, you know, the ones, don't discipline your children and all that, don't spank them. And some have even suggested to people that children shouldn't have to be told no and that type of thing. Well, she had read these books about not disciplining your children. And so she did. And this is sad. That little 4-year-old, I have to tell you, I didn't like it. And I like kids. But there was nothing likable about this kid. That's sad when a 4-year-old's not likable. Let me tell you why it was. Like, I go to my car, I open the door, there's a pile of dirt in my seat, you know, he's put in there for him. Another time, I'm sitting on the front steps, they're over there working in the garden, he's over here with this little boy over there. And I'm going to change the name to protect the guilty. They're calling, you know, Timmy! Timmy, come here! Look over there, he just ignores. They keep working on the garden. They were working on the wrong product. By the way, they did better with their garden than they did with their son. And after a minute, one of them started yelling, screaming at me, Timmy! Timmy, you get over here! Right now! He does nothing. You know, this just goes on. Every once in a while, periodically, one of them would yell for him, and he'd ignore it. Finally, he starts strolling across with his little friend. As he goes in front of me, I said, Timmy, I said, why didn't you go when your parents called you? He said, I didn't hear him. And his little friend said, yes, you did. One day he comes to my door, opens the door, doesn't knock or anything, just opens the door. Stands there. His little overalls are wet in the front and brown in the back. And he says, I don't have to use the bathroom. That's that. And it wasn't his fault. Whose fault was that? It was his parents' fault. And shame on them for listening to some psychologist who didn't know what he was talking about instead of listening to the Word of God. Dr. Spock later retracted some of the things that he said, and Dr. Spock's own son committed suicide. Why were people listening to that? I was teaching on this subject one time in Maryland, and a woman was there whose husband is apparently a nationally known child psychologist. At least he was in Minnesota. Remember all the school shootings were going on, the one in Minnesota? He was one of the child psychologists sent out there to help, you know, with the children. Well, his wife came to my lesson that evening with a friend of hers, I know the friend, and she told me this child psychologist has a terrible relationship with his own daughter. She's, you know, in total rebellion. She's into all that, you know, goth, you know, death stuff and everything. And yet he's getting paid the big bucks as a child psychologist and child expert. People need to go back and start listening to what the Bible says about this matter. I heard a call on the radio talking about a kid that he was at a party, this is years ago, and some of you young people may not even understand the reference because it involves vinyl records. But there was a vinyl record playing, and this kid walked over there and just grabbed a needle and threw it. And this man, this song got later on the radio and knew the boy later as he was growing up too and said he came out horrible. He walked over there and said, no, no, don't do that. And the little boy's mother said, oh, well, excuse me. We decided that our son will never be told no. And he said, you know, he went on to say, you know, he knew this kid later. It's horrible kid. Guess what, Mom? The rest of the world's not going to go along with your little plan. You know, fellas, you guys, if you own a business or something, you want to hire that fella? You know, his mom brings him to work, you know. My son would like to have a plane. He should never be told no. You want to hire him? You want your daughter to marry this guy? You want your grandkids to be raised by this guy? You want him to be your next door neighbor? You want to drive down the road that he's driving down? You know, police, whoo, pulls him over. You know, oh, I don't like to be told no. You know, that's not the real world. Children need to be told no. What they need to be understand is that they can't do is do that defiant no back. One mom that was having a lot of trouble with her son, in part because she was just being inconsistent. I was at her house one day for Bible study, and her son came up from downstairs and said, now you need to go back downstairs. And he goes, and he turned and went. A few minutes later, something came up, and I said, well, I said, your problem is not being consistent. I said, for instance, a while ago when you told him to go downstairs and he muttered no under his breath, and she goes, you heard that? I said, yeah. Thinking she heard it too. And it was just that little phonics. Don't tolerate that. Never, ever let them do that. Your job is not to control the child. Your job is to train the child. Well, we went. Okay, that's control. It wasn't training. You need to train that child. There was a teenage girl that, she was, parents had so many similar ideas. Later, and she was just bad news. Last I heard of her, a lady I know that saw her sometime back, saw her now as like an 18 or 19 year old, just horribly unhappy person. And she was talking about that she wanted to murder her boyfriend. And she wasn't just speaking, you know, jokingly. Mistake number two. Rewarding misbehavior. How many of you say that parents, would we ever reward misbehavior? You know, do we say, hey, we're going to grandma's, listen, you know, if you will call grandma fat, I'll give you $5, you know. Listen, if you'll kick grandpa in the shins, you know, I'll take you out for a milkshake. We would never do that. We don't reward misbehavior, or do we? A lot of parents do. Do they hand out prizes and money? You know, saying, please misbehave. No, here's how they reward misbehavior. Why do children throw tantrums? Get what they want. That kid at the store, you know, mom's already knows. She knows what she needs to buy. She let him pick this kind of cereal. There's other things. We need some vegetables. We need this. Here's how much money, right? Here's how much time. I don't want too much junk food in the house. She's made her decision. He wants, oh! And there's, you know, some big display, you know. And, of course, as you go through the register, you know, they got the candy. They don't have the candy up out of child's reach. You know, it's all the, and he says, oh, can I have the, or whatever. And she goes, no. No, we're not going to get that today. I want it! And then, no, we can't have that. We need to go. It's time to go. No, I want it. He starts kicking and screaming. Shh, you're embarrassing your mother. You think that makes him stop? Oh, pardon me, Mom. I didn't realize I was embarrassing you. Duh. Of course he's embarrassing his mother. And he's learned that she's an easier target when there's other people around starting to go like this, you know, so that he knows he can push it. You know, I hate you. You hate me. You never buy me anything. I hate you, mother. And stop. You're embarrassing. Stop. And everybody's looking. She's like, okay. And the little tyrant got what he wanted. What did she just do? Rewarded misbehavior. She might not have noticed what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. Why did he pitch the fit? I saw on America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever that is, there was, they left the video camera running while this little kid was pitching a fit. And when they would leave the room, he'd be like, and they'd leave the room. He'd crawl over to where he could see him. And they went the other way. He'd crawl back over this way. He wasn't that sad. He was a little strong. Rewarding misbehavior. Accommodating and facilitating misbehavior. Goes like this. One mom comes over to the other mom's house. First mom has like some little bitty guys, and they're watching, I don't know. Oh, I hate Barney the Dinosaur so much, but suppose for sake of illustration, that's what they're watching. Well, this kid comes over, he's a little bit bigger, and he's not going to put up with that. And he says, you know, that's dumb. And he says, you know, I want to watch Power Rangers. He's got, and he grabs some tape. Not recommending either of those, just part of the illustration. And they say, oh, we want to watch Barney. And he starts pushing them down. No, and he just takes over the thing. And he's telling them that's dumb. And the kids start, and the little guys are crying. And the moms come in there, and they see, you know, the bullying and everything. And the mom with the bully comes in, and she goes, now watch, she's going to say the right things. But then watch what she does. Oh, Junior, oh, you shouldn't push, you know, the little boys. You should be nice. Junior, you should be nice to them. This is their house. You should share. I'm so sorry. Do you have another TV with another tape player where maybe my son could, you know, watch his Rangers and that way they could... Now, what did she just do? Now, she was embarrassed enough. She gave word tribute that you should be nice. You should learn to share. But then she's immediately going to facilitate it so that, oh, well, if you've got another TV, then mine can watch his and he won't have to be bullying your boys. You know what? That little stinker needs to learn a lesson about how to behave it, period, how to behave in somebody else's house, how to behave around children smaller than him in sharing, and can you think of any time better in the world for him to learn that lesson than right now? So teach it to him. Right now, don't accommodate and facilitate misbehavior. You know what the difference is between a boy and a pig? You give both of them everything they want, you'll have a really tasty pig and a really rotten boy. Spoiling a child is not a favor to him, and spoiling a child will not satisfy him. Have you seen those kids? After they pitch their fit, I don't want this. And then finally, okay, there you get that. And then they're what? I don't want that. Because they're just in a defiant, you've allowed that child to get in a defiant mode. And what he needs is somebody to stand up to him and require him to behave. And have you ever noticed when you when you make your child behave and they've done wrong and you talk to them about it and you punish them for it and they understand it, you notice how happy they are afterwards. They've been kind of sulky and bratty and self-centered and dissatisfied, and after they've been disciplined, after that, they're so happy and so much better adjusted. The rod and reproof bring wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. You know one reason why I think we have road rage now? I think that some people who, when they were little, they threw their tantrums and nobody taught them how to behave. And they grew up and they've never learned self-control. There's a lot of people out there like that now. Is that a favor? That people never taught them self-control? Thirdly, and this will be our last point for this session, besides rewarding misbehavior, expecting misbehavior. Now, I'm not talking about hoping for misbehavior. You know, oh, we're going to Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, I hope my child misbehaves. No, nobody hopes. I'm not talking about wanting it, hoping for it, or preferring misbehavior. I'm talking about expecting it. Oh, we can't take him to the restroom. Well, there's no way Junior's going to sit still for an hour. Well, after all that sugar, he'll be impossible. Oh, I'll never get him to eat that. Well, not now you won't. Sorry, my son's not much of a sharer. What's all of that? Expecting misbehavior. Is it hoping for it? No. It's just, well, we just can't go to the restroom with him because we know he'll be back. You expect misbehavior. And somebody says, well, but he will be. Let me tell you something. You remember when they had the old drill sergeants? I think it's changed now, but the old drill sergeants, you know, like in the Marine Corps and stuff, when somebody went to Paris Island, when he got a group of raw recruits in just off the bus, do you think that first day he thought, oh, I bet all of them will make their bed perfectly. Oh, I bet all of them will really be able to put out those push-ups and sit-ups. Oh, I bet all of them will march perfectly and no whining. Do you think that's what he thought was going to happen? The first day? No. But what happened at the end of the 6 weeks or so? How are those beds made? They're made to, you know, specification. How are they marching? Right. What are they doing on those sit-ups? They're pumping them out. Why? He's done this over and over and over and over. What happened? He expected that they were going to do that. So he said, well, but he is going to be bad. You start expecting him not to be bad. That's what you do. And then you follow up on it. Oh, there's no, well, after all that sugar, he'll be impossible. Guess who heard that? This is a green light to go. Besides, you know what? I'm going to grant you that sugar is carbohydrate and it does give energy. You know, energy, there's energy stored in there, and when we have some sugar, it gives us some reserves of energy. But this idea that children have to misbehave because they eat sugar is ridiculous. I've been to lots of birthday parties where well-trained kids sit there and eat ice cream and cake and frosting, and they have fun and they have a good time, and they're still respectful and behave themselves. Now, they've got some energy if they're going to run and play a game. They've just got some calories in them, and they've got some energy to do it. But it's just like putting fuel in your gas tank. It gives you fuel, but it doesn't mean that you have to sit there and burn your tires off, you know, or drive down the wrong side of the road. This idea of blaming things on the sugar, it's not the sugar. It's the lack of training in the child. Start expecting good behavior. If he won't sit still, if you think, oh, he's not going to sit still for an hour, then what my wife would do with the kids sometimes when they were real little, she'd just have a time at home to get them prepared for the idea of church. She says, okay, we're going to sit still. This is going to be like we're at church. And she'd just practice sitting still. And you know what? Did you notice that when they're in the car seat and they can't get out, they learn that it's part of the routine? They sit still because they're required and it's expected. So it can be required and expected other places and other times as well. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him.